lately there was a fundraiser for Jay Lake, where many people contributed acts of whimsy. Sean said that if it reached the $40,000 mark, we could all do a skit for Jay. And Paul actually had the idea to come up with the skit. Sean wrote the skit. Jen agreed to do the contortionist old lady voice that makes her bend her body in weird ways. So we all got together to record this act of whimsy for you. Thanks for being awesome, Jay. From Julia, Sean, Paul, and Jen at the Skiffy and Fanty Show.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show presents The Adventures of the Mustache and the Mutt, The Great Lake Conspiracy. Starring Charlie from Twilight, Jacob, also from Twilight, Sean Connery, Peter Lorre, Katharine Hepburn, The Old Lady, Truman Capote, Batman, Catwoman, a depressed elephant named Frank, and Gabriel, the angel who speaks in lines from Legend, which is still one of the greatest fantasy movies ever made, period. No argument. That is all. Act 1, Scene 1. On June 6, 1964, two big-name actors and a depressed elephant named Frank witnessed a miraculous birth. They would later have their minds wiped in 1986 when a malfunctioning robotic actor mysteriously went AWOL and accidentally smacked each of them in the head with its hand. Actor G.W. Bailey refused to talk about the incident, though apparently all of their memories would mysteriously reappear in 2013, which you'll learn about when we get to Act 3. Where was I? Oh, right. So it's 1964, and there are some important people talking about a baby, and at some point, they'll be interrupted by an old lady. Whatever.
Is that what I think it is?
The Mainspring manuscript. It's real.
A baby with a manuscript. How depressing.
To you is born this day in the country of Taiwan a savior who is the Messiah, a writer.
What in Sam hell? Why are you reading Bible verses?
Because it is known that the one who is born with the Mainspring manuscript in hand shall bring upon a world a peace that will last 10,000 years.
A piece of free orange diapers for everyone.
I feel like I've died and been resurrected as a character in an Uwe Boll movie. Only every liquor store in the world is closed for the holidays, and just like Groundhog Day, I keep repeating the same nightmare over and over until one day I decide to drink Drano instead. And then I wake up, and an anvil falls on my head. It's like Looney Tunes on crack.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Meanwhile, the Great Lake has come. We must hide the manuscript until he has ascended. Let us pray.
Our writer, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
This turn of events has made me sad. Where's my jar of Nutella? This is going straight to my trunk.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Oh, sorry, dearie. If you'll excuse me, I think I'm in the wrong scene.
Scene 2. Meanwhile, in Wichita, Kansas, Charlie, a.k.a. the Mustache, and Jacob, a.k.a. the Mutt, circa 2012, arrive at the headquarters of a super-secret organization of very secret people, one of which happens to be Truman Capote. Why are they in Kansas? That's like asking why the last Twilight movie had to be made in the first place. But because I'm feeling generous, I'll explain. Dead people and the Mainspring manuscript. Word.
Did you know that life is a moderately good play with a badly written third act?
Look, Mr. Capote, I live in the only place in the continental United States where the only thing I see all day are clouds, rain, and this 18-year-old wolf boy can't keep a shirt on.
Bella texted me. Oh my god, it's like she totally understands me. Check it out, Charlie.
On top of that, there are four dead vampires in the trunk of my police car, all with the words Mainspring carved in the chest. Got no time for your philosophizing. Just tell me straight, like a Kentucky bourbon.
Well, you see, love is a chain of love, as nature is a chain of life, and the quietness of his tone italicized the malice of his reply.
Kitties are hilarious.
Do you speak English? Is there someone here who didn't help Harper Lee win a Pulitzer?
No.
Just ask him what kind of book he'd write if he had to describe the situation, Charlie. I want to get home in time for Glee. Chris Colfer is my idol.
Your friend makes me believe more in the scissors than the pencil. Snip, snip, off goes his head.
Now you're speaking my language. All right, look, Mr. Capote, if you were to write a book about all this mainspring manuscript stuff, what kind of book would it be?
Oh, well, when God hands you a gift, he also hands you a whip, as they say. Now, I'd write a conspiracy like the truth about the JFK murders, for instance. Elvis did it, obviously. Only it would scrape me right down to the marrow of my bones, just like in Cold Blood. The world would spin, and the great calamity would come, and all would be empire and undergarments suspended in glorious animation, till finally green and endurance, the gods of old, would set right the world like wildfire rebirths the grasslands of California. Oh, glorious day!
Why is it that every case that podunk town gives me turns into a giant cluster of fantastic gibberish?
Oof! Oh, heavens me! I'm ever so sorry. Truly I am. I've walked into the wrong scene.
Act 2, Scene 1. 49 years after the arrival of the mysterious and very hidden Mainspring manuscript and the writer from the heavens, and 1 year after the odd prophecies of Truman Capote, who miraculously faked his own death long enough for the story to unfold, Charlie and Jacob continued their investigation, hoping to find the Mainspring manuscript, in which lies the answer to the strange murders in Charlie's podunk town.
Ma'am, you said you were there the day the, well, event occurred, yes?
Oh, yes. I remember it like a week old bed sore sprayed with lemon juice.
Ma'am, please, just focus.
Don't mind him, lady. He doesn't understand the elderly like I do, if you know what I'm saying. Wink, wink.
Lemon sprinkles aren't for everyone, you strange shirtless boy, you.
The manuscript, if you don't mind.
Oh, all right. I remember stumbling into the room while on my way to visit Patrick O'Gilligy, who was the first human test subject for that little blue pill, if you know what I'm saying.
Gross.
Anyway, so Sean Connery and Peter Lorre, who probably had an illicit relationship at some point, were going on about some sort of religious prophecy or whatever. I don't know. I was higher than Ben Franklin at the time. And then they hit it. Oh, dear. My memory is so faulty these days.
Take your time, ma'am.
Oh, my God. So Bella and Edward apparently got wedding photos done, and they look like... you wouldn't believe it. Guess. Go on. Guess.
Jacob, please.
Okay, I'll tell you. They cross-dress roles from J-Lake's Green Universe, with Edward as Green.
Don't take the writer's name in vain, Wolf Boy, and never speak blasphemy in my presence again, or I'll cut off your fingers like Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Anyway, where did they hide the manuscript?
Steel ups, aluminum sideways, or something. Like I said, my memory's fuzzy. Mama might need some lovin' if you get my meaning.
Something tells me I'm gonna regret this.
Oh, copper downs. That's what it was. Yes, it's hidden there.
Thank you. I'm gonna go now.
Don't worry, Charlie. I got it all on camera. I'm totally posting this to YouTube.
I need a drink and a smoke.
Wow, and Kitty is in the wrong scene.
Scene 2. Several hours later, in a secret location that is most definitely not Toronto, Ontario. Trust me, it's not. Move along now, folks. Move along. Anyway, in said secret location, an intrepid crew of superheroes and the mysterious, unnamed old lady gathered to discuss their secret.
They're heading to Copper Downs, which sounds about as much fun as when I dated Hugh Grant during his prostitution phase.
Wow, Kitty thinks they're getting too close. We're going to have to do something. Meow.
But we have to be careful, dearie. They'll slip through our fingers and then all will be lost. It'll be like that Gollum incident all over again.
Not on my watch. I'm Batman.
Oh, hold your horses, dearie. No need to get your rubber in a twist.
That's not funny. Rubber chafes.
Not as much as leather, Bat.
Why do you always talk like that, Bat Boy?
Like what?
Like you've been smoking with Cheech and Chong for 30 years.
I have a cold.
But you always talk like that, Batty.
I always have a cold when I'm Batman.
That seems unlikely.
Don't argue, okay? It's the downside of being Batman, so stop being unjust and let's get back to Bat Nibbles. I mean business.
Oh, all right. So they're getting too close, are they?
Wow, yes. It's like they're stalking a mouse or a bat. Meowza.
Then there's only one thing to do. Crush them.
Oh, honey, put that thing away.
Listen to the kitty lady, dearie. You look ridiculous when you hold that thing in your suit. Like Richard Wagner in his old age. You're all wrinkly and make weird noises when your skin rubs together.
But I need it. It's important to the narrative.
Oh, meow. You poor guys, always confusing your pistols with your privates.
You're gone. Where am I? This is the wrong scene.
Act 3, Scene 1. 3 months later, two of the characters in the skit mysteriously gained their memory back. Plot holes, right? And were immediately activated as assassins for the secret organization that everyone else seems to know about, but this narrator doesn't. Let me know when this starts to make sense.
Oh, goodness me. Catwoman says we have to go down the rabbit hole to take care of these pesky investigators. But what will I wear?
I have an extra orange diaper.
No, I mean wear, as in a weapon of some sort. I mean, I could go with a 9mm, but that's so passé. Then again, a nice Desert Eagle or, oh yes, oh goodness, a 357 Magnum, the most powerful gun on Earth. Oh, someone is going to try to make my day indeed. Why, slap them on the wrist with a feather when you can belt them over the head with a sledgehammer.
I think this is the first time I've ever been terrified of you, Catherine. What happened?
It's like she slayed the immortal Duke of Copper Downs herself.
It's called feminism, boys. Really, you act as though I've said something woefully out of character. But I tell you, I will have these bloody bastards dead at my feet before they get their hands on the Mainspring manuscript. So help me green. Now choose your weapon and let's get to work.
The rifle is my choice, for it is gifted to menfolk like a mechanical...
That's quite enough of that. Peter?
I choose my intellect, for it was forged in the fires of Mordor from the melted remains of the Ring of Power. I'll use my mind to convince them to gamble away their fingers, like an Alfred Hitchcock Presents sketch.
2 points for originality, I suppose. So, a 357 Magnum, a deranged man's intellect, and one sad old underwear lover's concept of a phallus. Oh, how lovely this should be a grand old party. Don't you agree?
Look at me. I've got no shirt on. Oh, wait. Wrong scene. Scene 2. And lo, the heavens trembled, as though the gods themselves envisioned the attainment of the Mainspring manuscript. With it, all the wonders of the universe, all the great powers that all beings wished upon their fingertips. For humanity, in all its encompassing glory, had assumed for itself the writer god, the lord of words, the king of literary efforts. And the writer god's soul lay hidden, protected, kept from the masses for the sake of all time and space and... Wait, what the hell is this? Who wrote this crap? Seriously, who? Look, forget it. Let's get back to reality here. So here's what's going down. The Mustache and the Mutt have found out where the Mainspring manuscript is hidden. And since we don't have equipment to actually put on an audio show of the whole scenario, we're skipping right to the part where they're confronted by all the people who kind of want to kill them. And that's basically it. Word.
Stop, in the name of justice.
Brow. You heard the bad boy. Stop, or I'll play kitty cat with your face.
I'm totally going to take a picture of this and send it to Bella. Isn't that just sweet of me?
It wouldn't hurt you to, you know, maybe change into a werewolf or something. Help out, you know what I'm saying?
That's cute, Charlie. Nah, you got this.
What is it that y'all want from us?
We want your souls.
What? Oh, goodness. He didn't mean that, really. He didn't. It's a mistake. We're not here for your soul, promise.
Your underwear, perhaps, but not your soul. Also, your life.
Meow. Did he just say underwear? Kitty smells an insane man.
Look, can we please stay focused for a minute, please? What the hell do y'all want?
Failure is the condiment that gives success its flavor. Thus, I don't care what anybody says about me as long as it isn't true.
You keep talking like that, and every time I haven't a clue what you're saying. Come again?
Oh, for heaven's sake, he's trying to tell you that if you... when you... hell, even I don't know what he's saying. Forget it.
We seek the means to fight injustice, to turn fear against those who prey on the fearful.
Can someone please speak to me like a normal person? What's the big deal about this mainspring manuscript thing?
Bella says you look good, Charlie. If you don't mind, I'm going to take off my shirt now.
What exactly does he do in this whole relationship of yours?
You got me.
Okay, okay. Your lack of focus disturbs me. So look, here's the deal, and then I'm going to go back to moping on the couch, so pay attention. They don't want you to have the mainspring manuscript, because if you read from it, all literature will die, thus bringing an end to human civilization as we know it. You, on the other hand, just want to read it so you can figure out why there are dead people in your trunk. But it never occurred to you that maybe the one committing all the murders is right here in this very room.
What are you talking about?
Oh, honey, Kitty smells a rat. Or maybe it's a bad doggy. Mrrow.
The wolf. He's responsible.
Well, that's surprisingly convenient. It's like that time when I happened to run into Cary Grant and Ewan McGregor entwined in a... Oh, Catherine knows what I'm talking about. Am I right?
If Jacob's responsible, then that means...
What? I don't understand.
It's another convenient plot point. Jacob is secret behind all the murders because he's an uncontrollable beast. And that means while we've all been talking, he's been inching his clever way to the mainspring manuscript.
I win at last. None of you will stand against me now that I have the power of the manuscript. Fire will spill from my mouth as my claws scratch the earth to shreds. And every month, we'll have a great contest in which you'll decide, as a people, whether I look better clothed or otherwise. Choose wisely, little ones, for I shall be a vengeful god.
I give up. Everyone's got delusions of grandeur around these parts, and I can't be bothered. I'm out.
Meow. Whatever you do, don't read the acknowledgments. You're too bare-chested to handle the power. You're no Sean Connery who once deflected an asteroid using nothing more than his leg hair.
Hairball. Quiet, you old bag. I'll do whatever I please, for I am Jacob, princely lord of... Look, I'm just going to read.
Whatever shall we do? Save us from the wicked Jacob.
This means so much more to me this time. I don't know why. I think the first time I hardly felt it because all was too new. But I want to thank you. I haven't had an orthodox career, and I've wanted more than anything to have your respect. The first time I didn't feel it, but this time I feel it. And I can't deny the fact that you like me. Right now. You like me. Wait, is this Sally Field's 1985 acceptance speech for the Academy Awards?
Yes, it is. Meow.
Rumble, rumble, rumble. Rumble, rumble, rumble. It's Gabriel, the angel who speaks in lines from legend.
Mother Night, fold your dark arms about me. Protect me in your dark black embrace. I sit alone, an impotent exile, whilst this form, this present, returns to torment me.
Oh, damn. I had hoped to make swift work of you with this magnum, but now he has come. He'll set you straight ever so much, he will. For he is...
I am the Lord of Darkness. I require the solace of the shadows and the dark of the night. Sunshine is my destroyer. All this shall change. Tonight, the sun sets forever. There shall never be another dawn.
But I want power. I want to rule the world with my throbbing pecs and enticing abs.
The dreams of youth are the regrets of maturity. Dreams are my speciality. Through dreams, I influence mankind. There is only one lure for such disgusting goodness. One bait that never fails.
innocent. Innocent.
Release the bunnies.
Dude, no! No! Don't!
Every wolf suffers fleas. Tis easy enough to scratch.
Ah! I can't resist them. They're so innocent. And anti-gorgeous abs and pecs. Damn you, Gabriel!
Strange, if I do say so myself. So what now, Gabriel?
Tonight, the sun sets forever.
You're just going to say the same lines over and over, aren't you?
There shall never be another dawn.
I'm sorry. This whole skit had to end somehow, so I put a bullet in his head. You don't mind, do you? Oh, good. Wonderful. Now we can all go home.
And so the angel Gabriel was vanquished by the almighty hand of Catherine Hepburn. Say it again, sister, who held aloft the writer's weaponized justice like King Arthur held Excalibur.
Whoa, whoa, you're not turning me into a myth, are you?
Yes, that's how stories work.
Oh, how delightful. Can I have a fascinating nickname, like Hepburn the Vengeful, or...
Please stop talking. I've got a job to do, and I'm going to do it. I feel like Sigourney Weaver in that Tim Allen movie. Anyway, where was I? Oh, right. So the almighty writer was protected against whatever was going to happen to him if Jacob had read something other than the acknowledgement section of the Mainspring manuscripts. And that means somewhere, J. Lake is protected against the evils of meddling. Seems like a good thing to me. We love you,
Jay. We love you, Jay.
We love you, Jay.
The end.
The music in this episode was called There It Is by Kevin MacLeod. You can find out more about him at freemusicarchive.org.